You are listening to CKMS News on 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. I am Dan Keller, and this show first aired April 19, 2024. On April 9, 2024, an external legal counsel for the Waterloo Regional Police and the former internal legal counsel for the Thunder Bay Police, Holly Walburn, was arrested by the OPP and charged for actions which they say took place while she was still working for the police force in the Northern Ontario town. While Walburn had resigned her position in April 2023, she continued working for the Thunder Bay Police on a retainer past April. According to Sherry Greeno, spokesperson for the Waterloo Regional Police, quote, "In May 2023, WRPS retained the services of Walburn Law to assist in providing specialized legal services to the organization," unquote. Greeno also wrote to CKMS News that, quote, "As a result of the allegations that are currently before the courts, WRPS has discontinued this contractual agreement," unquote. The charges are related to an investigation started in 2021 and has also led to the arrest of Thunder Bay Police Officer Michael Demini and former Thunder Bay Police Chief Sylvie Hoth. Walburn and Hoth are both charged with obstructing a public or peace officer, breach of trust, and multiple counts of obstruction of justice. Demini was charged with breach of trust, obstruction of justice, and assault. As first reported by the Globe and Mail's Willow Fidler, the charges against Walburn relate to statements made to the Thunder Bay Police Board in 2021, the Ontario Civilian Commission between October 2021 and June 2022, and to Toronto police detectives in between January and November 2022. TB Newswatch reports that, quote, "Counsel for Walburn said in a brief statement that they are shocked and disappointed the OPP decided to charge her," unquote. In 2022, both Walburn and Hoth were investigated by the Ontario Civilian Police Commission for alleged collusion in their statements to the commission on an earlier matter. Hoth was charged with discreditable conduct and deceit, but retired before the hearing took place. The OCPC allegations of wrongdoing by Walburn were found to be unsubstantiated. Walburn and Hoth have also been the target of Human Rights Tribunal of Ontario complaints, many of which, for Walburn at least, remain unresolved. The HRTO confirmed to CKMS News that Walburn is a quote-unquote respondent in 21 active files. However, information about the files is kept confidential until the HRTO makes a decision on each matter. CKMS News also communicated with Amy Lewis, a spokesperson for the Law Society of Ontario, about any open investigations into Walburn. Lewis wrote, quote, "Whenever a lawyer or paralegal is charged with or convicted of a serious offense, the Law Society investigates, and if the evidence warrants, commences regulatory proceedings, which are public-facing," unquote. When asked generally about how the LSO investigation process is triggered, Lewis wrote, quote, "Under Bylaw 8, licensees are required to report to the Law Society certain criminal and other charges, and the disposition of those charges," unquote. She added, quote, "Generally speaking, if the Law Society becomes aware of criminal charges, through whatever means, an investigation will be launched," unquote. However, Lewis also wrote, quote, "Information concerning specific complaints made to the Law Society of Ontario and investigations by the Law Society of Ontario are confidential until or unless they result in regulatory proceedings, which would be public," unquote. Finally, according to Lewis, LSO investigations may be deferred until, quote, "related concurrent civil or criminal proceedings involving a LSO licensee who is the subject of a complaint," unquote, are concluded. Waterloo Regional Police did not answer questions about the nature of Walburn's work with the force, or if they were aware of the OPP investigation of Walburn when they retained her services. No one from the Waterloo Regional Police Services Board responded to emails or phone calls from CKMS News. This show features an interview with Dr. Patrick Watson, an assistant professor of criminology and socio-legal studies at the University of Toronto, who researches policing and police oversight. Watson discusses transparency, accountability, and public trust around disciplinary measures related to police and police force employees. Here is the interview, which starts with a quick introduction Then Watson responds to a question asking about how the WRPS could hire a lawyer under OPP investigation, and he expands from there.
My name is Patrick Watson. I'm an assistant professor of criminology and sociolegal studies at the University of Toronto, and I'm the principal investigator of two grants from the Social Science and Humanities Research Council that are both sort of interested in the area of policing and police oversight, both in Canada and internationally. I think the first thing is that police investigations are generally kept very quiet, that there won't be a whole lot of details shared between the OPP and Thunder Bay or Waterloo Regional Police. There's sort of institutional necessities and as well as privacy considerations when it comes to police investigations. So it doesn't surprise me that a lawyer wouldn't come with, for example, like a warning label, along the lines of, is currently being investigated. That would be something that would be very proprietary to the OPP. They wouldn't want to share it around too much. On another sort of issue, it's a very specialized area of law that you're talking about. The Police Services Act, the previous Provincial Police Service Act, has been updated now. It's an area that involves both employment law and police law. So it doesn't surprise me that the community of lawyers that are sort of working in this area is very small. And as such, you would expect to see similar names, or I tend to see similar names popping up over and over again on documents for people who are representing police officers individually or police services.
If it is a smaller community, they would know if their colleagues are under investigation.
Lawyers do have their avenues. And so there might be suspicions, there might be conjecture, but lawyers also would know how the law functions in this regard, and that it would be something that people are not charged until they're charged. And so you hear every now and again terminology used like person of interest and things like that. These are terms that have significance, but they wouldn't necessarily be given weight. And I'm not sure that terminology would have popped up in this particular case.
How does this impact how we're seeing, like how the public is looking at police forces when they're seeing employees or contractors of police bouncing around from one agency to the other and bringing charges with them? Like, does that disrupt the confidence in policing?
So I study this very closely, as in my field, I think, would broadly be described as police oversight and police deviance as a result. And so for someone like me, I do get concerned when I see the types of folks who are representing the police generally, whether it be their lawyers or their elected police services representatives or things like that, carrying with them baggage and unresolved complaints, or resolved complaints for that matter, different investigations that have gone into these folks. I think another example we could point to that's of recent significance is the Umar Zamir trial in Toronto, where we see police officers who have taken the stand who are accused by the defense, at least, of fabricating some of the statements that they've made, or of maybe taking descriptive liberties. I'm not sure exactly what terminology that lawyer, well, he's effectively accused them of lying on the stand. And these types of activities that we see police officers themselves and their counsel being accused of certainly would stand to, raise my interest. And I think the public would be rightfully concerned about such things as well, that they would be deeply concerned about the way that the people who are meant to enforce the law are kind of, in certain circumstances, being alleged to have run afoul of the law.
I then asked Professor Watson to explain on the need for transparency in disciplinary investigations related to police, their employees, and their lawyers. Here's what he had to say.
I think one of the issues that you're pointing to here is that these are things that really do deserve their day in court so that they can be resolved to the satisfaction of the public. And this has been a real sort of underlying impetus for my research and what I've sort of been interested in having a deeper public conversation, and is that the public is aware of the types, so that the public can be aware of the types of allegations that are made against police services, their representatives, their executives, and their lawyers, and that be done out and in the public and away from the sort of veils of secrecy that have been customary and traditional in policing culture. I've recently been talking about this with colleagues, with friends, with anyone who will listen, to say that sunlight is the best disinfectant with these types of things. And the public is paying huge quantities of money, the civic taxpayer, the provincial taxpayer is paying huge amounts of money for police services. And it really seems to me that there's an obligation for these services to clear the air on these types of issues. So we'll see what kinds of allegations are actually being made when these cases proceed into the courts, and we'll get some better understanding of precisely what it is that the OPP has discovered that the OIPRD didn't discover. And that will sort of give us a chance as a community, as a public, to better grasp what it is that policing is a very, very complicated job, and we need to understand that there are reasonable reasons for police to be secretive in certain circumstances. But when allegations like this are made, it's really important that the public understand what's going on and have their say about how policing should be conducted in the province and the municipalities.
Finally, Patrick Watson added a comment about what he says some of his colleagues are calling, quote, a moment of crisis in confidence in policing, unquote.
You probably saw that there was the CBC reporting on the suspended with pay recently. To me, it just feels so vitally important that we're at a moment of, you know, some folk are calling it a moment of crisis with confidence in policing. You know, these are folk who pay quite a bit of attention to policing. I mean, this has been an ongoing issue since before the murder of George Floyd, but I think that was a real inflection point for a lot of folks who got a sense of things that they don't like in policing. And I really can't stress enough how much I appreciate the work that you folks in the media are doing to bring attention to this. You know, trust in institutions, in government institutions, seems so low right now. And I think it's very important that you know, the media take a leading edge on this and get this information in front of the public. Not so much that we're, you know, trying to, you know, engage in witch hunting or something along those lines, whatever it is that folks say, but that the public can be informed, because it is vital.
You have been listening to an interview with Dr. Patrick Watson, an assistant professor and researcher of criminology and socio-legal studies at the University of Toronto. Watson was speaking to accountability, transparency, and public trust in policing following the arrest of former Thunder Bay Police internal lawyer and Waterloo Regional Police external lawyer, Holly Walburn. Along with former Thunder Bay Police Chief Sylvie Hoth, Walburn has been charged with obstructing a public or peace officer, breach of trust, and multiple counts of obstruction of justice. None of the allegations have been proven in court, which will resume in May. While Walburn was retained by the Waterloo Regional Police in May 2023, they confirmed to CKMS News that due to the arrest and charges, that Walburn's contract has been, quote-unquote, discontinued. Police did not answer questions about the nature of Walburn's work with the force, or if they were aware of the OPP investigations of Walburn when they retained her services. No one from the Waterloo Regional Police Services Board responded to emails or phone calls from CKMS News. This is Dan Keller for CKMS News on 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. Thank you for tuning in. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, Heritage Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. Check out the archived versions of this program on radiowaterloo.ca/news and listen to all the LJI content at frequencynews.ca. If you want to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover, email us at news@radiowaterloo.ca.